this discourse, I want to explain one word that Lhotse uses. This will clear up many things in you. For some, it will be disappointing. For others, it will be a realization, the opening to a new beginning. It is all in the word indefinable. Look, it cannot be seen. It is beyond form. Listen, it cannot be heard. It is beyond sound. Grasp it, it cannot be held. It is intangible. These three are indefinable. Therefore, they are joined in one. We are easily fooled by the whole idea of form. But what I want to talk to you about is why many of you simply don't get it. You do not feel the urgency to understand the Tao, and then to not understand the Tao and become the Tao. You have lived in your genetics way too long. Your ethnic backgrounds play a huge role in what you can understand and what you cannot understand, what you can accept and what you refuse to accept. Whether you know it or not, you are fighting with your body constantly. And anything that passes through the body must pass through your genetics, your DNA, your ethnic background, which defines so many things about you, about who you like to think you are, what you deserve, what is right, what is wrong. Most people do not consider their ethnic background. It is the impulse to think, say, do, and accept and reject all things in your life. It's not something that most people can think of, but it is a bias, and that you can think of. So when Lhotse says these three are indefinable, he is talking about the manner of the way. Now listen and try to understand. You may not understand these discourses at all because your ethnic background is in the way, because your human guile is in the way, because the way you have lived is in opposition totally to the Tao. You can't turn your boat around. It is impossible to do so. There are things that I have shared with you in this series and in the series of the Buddha and Christ consciousness that you still refuse to understand. They are not relevant to your ethnic background. They're not relative to how you think, the way you think, and even why you think. In the human mind, there has to be some definition, something definable, something you can understand with your human intellect. But in the spiritual realm, the deep spiritual realm, these things fall apart. They're intangible. They're beyond sound. They're beyond form. Everything is beyond the concepts of Gregory Edward Penn. So to understand the indefinable means I must let go. I must be meditative in everything that I do. I must live in another world while inhabiting a fleshly body. I know this sounds crazy to you. I understand. But I wanted to take a pause in all of this that I am offering to you. A pause for you to maybe reassess. For some of you, that will never happen. You're stout in your beliefs, in your convictions. You are proud of your heritage, your ethnic background. And you have no idea what all of this is doing to you, how it is stating that it's the presence of your mind and how it operates, and even to the point of your own health. A man of first-rate intelligence hears the truth and understands it without complication, without fear. His understanding is different than human understanding. He doesn't need proof. He doesn't need logic or reasoning. That is intelligence, to hear the truth and not dissect it into logic and reasoning. The person who does this misses their entire life. And most of my audience is that. And what does it take to get over all of this? Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of futility. Total futility. The fundamental factor of any kind of self-deception in this world, in us, is the insistence upon desire. The desire to be something in the world, to be proving ourselves in and of the world, to be mastered by the world. And when you want to be something in this world, you will miss. Whether you want to be something to your mate, your children, your friends, your parents, and I find people in their 60s still trying to prove to their dead parents that they were not what their parents told them they were. And yet, they are using the methods that their parents told them that they were to be what they are. And they can't see it because they are not a person of first-rate intelligence. Intelligence is to be able not to understand intellectually, but to just understand. Beyond the confines of mind. This story I'm about to read to you, I've read to you before. But I am sure you heard it and thought, eh. But it isn't an eh story. Once it happened that a Sufi master suddenly called on one of his disciples. He had many disciples that were sitting in the hall, but he only called this one. He said to this one, "Come near me." He was standing near the window, the master was, and the full moonlight was pouring in. All the disciples watched in wonder. Why had he called this man? Then the master indicated that something outside the window was very important. They had all seen this scenery many, many times before. So the master just said, "Look." From that day on, the young man had changed completely. His fellow students asked, "What happened?" "There was nothing. We know the full moon light. We've seen it many, many times. We've seen the scenery. It's beautiful and everything, but it makes no sense that you changed the way you did it. The whole thing happened out of proportion to what you were looking at. You were completely transformed. What happened?" They all wanted to know. The young man said, I heard the master, and I was so silent, so quiet. I was so without thoughts, so peaceful, that when he indicated the moon, showing me the moon, I had now seen it for the first time. I've seen many moons, he said, but now I see it for the first time. Something opened up within me, a window. I had an experience beyond my perceptions, he said. I saw the moon with new eyes. I looked at the moonlight with a new being. Everything that I had ever thought was real or unreal, it all dissolved. Now I know for certainty. There is no doubt within me. As I look at the moon, I realized I saw it through the master's eyes. He gave me that single moment, and I borrowed his eyes and realized. I looked through his being, not my being. I looked through his being, not the window. I was without thought. I was without compromise, he said. Now I see everything in a different way. I see everything as existence. Now it may take many lives for me to reach the place that the master has shared with me. But there is no doubt within me anymore that what exists within us all, within me, can disrupt my journey. I am clear. I have realized, he said, the indefinable. When you are listening to these discourses, you are not listening to a teacher who is trying to appeal to your logic and reasoning. I am not trying to talk you into understanding these discourses. They are indefinable. And truly, if I have to keep explaining the same things over and over again, your ego is enjoying sloughing them off. And you will miss. You will miss the moment. There is a point where life is indefinable in our living. It is not a point that you can teach a person. To hear these discourses, you have to be of a different ilk. You can't be the son or the daughter of your parents. You can't do that. If you think you're the son or the daughter of your parents, if you think you yourself are a parent, you miss. Look at your name, whatever it may be. It was given to you. And what does it mean? It means this is the way you're going to live your life, without question, without regard to anything higher, brighter, more beautiful, something that is intangible, that is beyond form. Your name gives you form. And along with that name comes your heredity and your DNA. And these things all gather together within you. and make you complicated. In fact, in many cases, just simply impossible. It's impossible to help you because your mind is searching for the tangible, the things it can understand, and it will take any great truth and reduce it down to your genetic ability to understand. And you have gained nothing that way. You think I'm here trying to sell you my wares, what I'm trying to teach you in the form of the Tao. You think I'm here to change your form, make you happy, show you how you can be happier. This is not what I'm doing. And this is not the way. I am offering you an entirely different life, just like the little student who came near the master. He chose this man because he was of exceptional intelligence. He was not fighting with the teachings. He was not a barrier to the teachings. Rather, the master became a bridge. And even though I have tried this with many of my students, it rarely works because they cling to their genetics. They cling to their heritage, their ethnic background. You come from a long line of Neanderthals. There's no spiritual royalty in your life, in your genetics. You come from a lot of people who killed to eat, maimed their minds with mundane facts and figures, had a constant desire to be something in this world to prove themselves. You don't come from anything noble, virtuous. Although all of that, virtue and nobleness, lives within you. But you are more interested in the form rather than the beauty of your goodness. What I'm offering you is indefinable. It takes a deep sense of intelligence to understand. Intelligence is comprised not of knowledge, not of intent to be popular, to be right. No, no, no. It's more than that. You have to understand what is beyond your understanding. You have to be willing to experience what is beyond the confines of your understanding, of your belief of yourself, of the very makeup of who and what you think you are. I cannot do this for you. I can only present, just like the master presented to his students. I don't have any students that I can call up and say, look, I have tried. You are too confined to your beliefs, to your moral values, to your ideals. Hence, there is not much that can really be presented to you. You're entering a place in your life where you're going to leave this body. It's going to betray you, as you would think of it. But the object of the game is to understand, what can I take with me through death? After all that I've been through, what can I take with me through death? I'm going to loan you my eyes, my being right now. I'm going to give you a beautiful quote from Chuang Tzu, who was Lao Tzu's disciple. All things come together in one. Life and death are equal. Let's you and I meditate on that. Life and death are equal. Look into my eyes. Look into